Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Des. So this episode, I decided I was going to kind of shift gears here for a minute and talk about my first pregnancy, and depending on where we get my second pregnancy and up to my loss, just depending on time, I am trying to get my house cleaned and our bags packed before we leave tomorrow. So I just figured I'd get on, do a quick episode, and then start fresh next week when we get home from a much needed mini vacation. So my first pregnancy, I got pregnant at 19. With that pregnancy, I mean, the only thing that I really experienced during pregnancy was morning sickness. Like, I couldn't eat anything with hamburger in it. I couldn't eat hamburgers. Pretty much anything that had a hamburger taste in it made me sick. I could eat chicken just fine, and pretty much anything else, it was just the hamburger. Don't know, the smell didn't make me sick. It was actually when I ate it, I was just sick the rest of the time. I guess I did have gestational diabetes as well. You know, when you go in and do the first test, and then if you don't pass that one, they tell you to, which I've never understood why they tell you to fast, because I feel like if you fast and go and take it again, of course your sugar levels are going to be high. But my craving my whole entire pregnancy was slushy apple juice. So it couldn't be like completely frozen, but it couldn't be like regular drinking apple juice. Like, it had to have like the icy layer in it, and Reese's Pieces. So I kid you not, in the last half of my pregnancy, I was living at my grandparents' house, and my grandma would cook dinner every night, and she would have because I worked at Cow Ranch during my pregnancy. So I'd get home, she would have us dinner ready, we would all sit down to eat together, and she would have me two Reese's and my slushy apple juice ready for me with our dinner. But I did end up testing for the gestational diabetes. I did check my blood sugar every day. I mean, they didn't really get super high or concerning. I honestly didn't change my diet at all, because I felt like I was the pregnant one, and if nothing was like alarming or my doctor wasn't concerned about anything with what I was doing, I didn't see an issue in it. I mean, I would have changed stuff if she told me to, but she didn't. So then I worked up until pretty much the day before I had Peyton, so I was scared. My due date was between the 29th to the 31st, and on the 26th I went in for what I thought was going to be my last doctor's appointment, and she looked at me and said, I'm leaving town and I need a couple of my patients to volunteer to be induced tomorrow. And I'm like, well, I can't, I have to work. And she goes, I've already called and talked to your work for you, like, they're fine with that. And I'm like, I don't have anything ready, like, I'm not ready. Mind you, my appointment was like at 5 o'clock that day, and she wanted me at the hospital at 4 the next morning. I'm like, I don't have anything ready. I don't have the car seat in the car. Like, there's too much to get ready. And all she did was look at me and smile and say, I'll see you at the hospital at 4 tomorrow morning. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this. So I left my doctor's appointment. We rushed over and got pre-checked in at the hospital, so when we got there the next morning, it wasn't so much paperwork to be doing. We rushed home, and at this point, I didn't really feel like telling anybody I was going in, because in my head, in what I wanted, was I just wanted me and Peyton's dad in the room. I didn't want anybody else, you know, besides the doctors. I just wanted us two. And so I just didn't really feel like telling anybody. Well, I lived with my grandparents, and we had to leave their house like early in the morning. So I said, you're going to hear me up around 3, you know, and my grandma was helping me get everything ready. My grandpa was putting the car seat in the car for us. So obviously they knew, because they were helping us get ready. But I just told them, you know, I'm going to get up at 3. This is my room information, my number, if you can't get a hold of me. But I was like, I do not want anybody to know because I don't want anybody else there. I don't want you guys sitting in the waiting room. I just want to be able to call and say, she's here, you can come visit now. I don't want all the added stress to it. We didn't tell Peyton's dad's family. Then later on that night, I was like, I probably want my hair braided. My stepmom is a beautician, so I called her and my dad. I said, hey, by the way, you know, I'm going to have Peyton, because I knew they wouldn't tell anybody. And I just asked my stepmom if she would wash my hair for me and braid it, just so it was out of my face and I didn't have to stress about it. Because I had super short hair when I had Peyton. So we met at the salon, and she hates people's feet. She even painted my toenails for me, which I will never forget. That's like the one thing I remind her of all the time, is you painted my toenails for Peyton's birth. So we get to the hospital that morning. And mind you, I did not sleep all night. Like, I was trying in my head to make sure I had everything, that I was prepared. And Peyton was just wiggling around, and I'm like, there's not sleeping tonight. Nope, not happening. So we get to the hospital. They get us all hooked up to the IVs and everything, because they wanted to start Pitocin and all that fun jazz. And I just remember the first half wasn't bad, but as soon as they came in and broke my water, it was game over. Like, the contractions just started. I was just in tears, and I was gonna try and go without an epidural or get my epidural a little bit later than I originally did, but I just was like, I don't want to be sitting here in pain all day, so I asked for my epidural. They came and gave it to me. I mean, everybody said the pain of the epidural was bad, but I think my contractions, like, took that pain away. I don't know. My contractions were bad. Like, they were horrible. As soon as I got the epidural and got comfortable back in bed, I fell asleep. It was probably noon, I think. I zonked out, and I just remember at like 3, my nurse came in to check, and she's like, it's time to push. And I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, it's time to push. And I'm like, okay. Well, somewhere between all this, I don't know if I was being talked to in my sleep or how it all came about, but somehow an individual got a hold of my room number, knowing that if they called me on my cell phone, I would not answer. They got a hold of my room number, and I vaguely remember, like, the phone ringing and Peyton's dad being like, hey, it's so-and-so, and I, like, you know, got on the phone. And I honestly couldn't tell you, but I agreed for them to be able to come. And then next thing I know, my grandma is showing up. And I'm like, okay. So then Peyton's dad's mom shows up, and I'm like, wait a minute. I am now getting woken up, told that it's time to push. All these people are starting to come in my room. And in my head, I'm like, well, it's too late to be like, okay, I didn't want you guys here, like, you need to leave, because either my sleeping self or me and just not remembering had obviously agreed to them to be there. And I was just annoyed. Well, my grandma and my mom pretty much pushes Chris out of the way. They're both, like, up by my head. The doctors tell me to push. The doctors, or the nurses, counting for me. Chris is down at the bottom, about to pass out, and his mom's over in another corner taking pictures, and I'm like, there's just way too much going on. Well, then the doctor's like, push. Well, every time I went to push, I could not feel a contraction, so they had to shut my epidural off. Which was the worst thing, because I swear, they shut the off button and I started feeling every single thing. So then they turned it back on, just on a lower level, I guess. And my grandma just kept shoving ice chips in my mouth, and I finally got pissed off enough that I spit them back out and I said, I didn't want any more, like, stop. And I ended up being the mean delivering woman because they were in, everybody was just in my face, just not letting me focus, telling me what to do, just too much going on, and I just finally snapped. Well, I had been pushing for quite some time at this point, and Peyton's heart rate had started to drop a little bit, and my doctor, bless her heart, I wish she was still around because she was the best doctor I had ever had. She looked at me straight in the face. She says, "Don't worry about these guys. It is time to push her out. If not, I have to go get my husband," which was the original OB-GYN. She was just a midwife. She said, "If you do not push her out here in the next 10 minutes, I have to go get him, and we've either got to decide if we're using forceps or going to emergency C-section. So you bear down and push her out." Well, my whole entire pregnancy, like, I hid my pregnancy for quite some time. I was really small. When I started telling people I was pregnant, they couldn't believe how far along I really was because of how small I was. So this whole time, my doctor was like, "I'm pretty sure you're going to have between a 5 to a 6.5 pound baby." And I'm like, okay, that's like small but kind of average these days. And I kid you not, I finally got pissed off enough. I bared down and I pushed her out. And all of a sudden, you hear a pop. And everybody's faces was like, "What the heck?" And the doctor looked at me and she goes, "I hope you didn't want your tailbone attached anymore." I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "You just broke your tailbone." She goes, "Her head was stuck on your tailbone this whole entire time." Well, they take this little chunky monkey that was not 5 to 6.5 pounds, put her on the scale. I kid you not, this child was 8 pounds even. And my doctor looked at me and she goes, "I would not have put you through that if I knew she was going to be 8 pounds. She goes, "We would have actually done a C-section." And I was like, "Well, it's too late now. She's here. She's healthy. I'm good. Like, we're good." And she was the best baby, honestly. So we finally get everything situated. We start letting other family members know that she was here so they could start coming to visit. And it was so funny. My stepmom, when I told her I was pregnant, she goes, "Don't expect me to change any diapers." But at this time, my sister and my brother, who we adopted, were just 6 months apart. So it was like having twins. She was constantly changing diapers. And she's just like, "Yeah, I'm not changing any." She comes and was holding Peyton and goes, "Where's the diapers? Can I change her diaper?" She was excited about it. And I'm like, "You told me you weren't doing that." And she goes, "Oh, it's fine." It killed me. It made me laugh. My grandpa came. And there was so many people in my room, so much going on, and I couldn't sit down because I had just broken my tailbone, so that was painful. And the nurse comes in and asked if we wanted Peyton for the night, you know, to be able to wake up and do feedings with her or send her into the little nursery at that time, how you could do that. And I wanted to keep her in my room, but my grandpa piped up and said, "Nope, you can take her, they need rest tonight." And I'm like, "Okay." Well, then my dad stayed forever. Everybody else left and my dad just stayed and hung out with us. And I was just sitting there talking to my dad and I just remember dozing in and out. And he finally looked at me and he goes, "I'm going to have the nurses come and get her." And I'm like, "Okay, fine." Because at this point, like, it hit me. I was tired. I was like, "Okay, fine, whatever. Like, have them come in, but I want them to come wake us up for feedings." Well, they came in and woke me up for one feeding. And I was so tired. I was like, "You can either wake Chris up and do it, or you guys can do it, but I just want sleep." And they ended up waking Chris up. He did the feeding, and then I guess they came in like 2 other times. I don't remember, but I remember the next morning, I had just woken up. I was so sweaty and just gross, and they came in and they're like, "You slept pretty good last night." I'm like, "I imagine. Like, I feel so much better." But Peyton, pretty much, she didn't wake up. They, at the hospital, you know how they make you wake them up every 2 to 3 hours for feedings They were waking her up for us to feed the two nights we were there. And then we got her home, and I pretty much was like, I'm not gonna wake her up to feed her. Like, if she's hungry, she'll wake up. I'm not gonna wake her up. My child was sleeping through the night, pretty much at a week old. And I can say she pretty much has been a good sleeper. Like, if she takes a nap later on in the day, she doesn't go to bed until really, really late. But for the most part, she was a good sleeper and a good napper. Nowadays, not so much of a good sleeper. She wakes up at the weirdest times and turns on her TV or starts playing her iPad and gets noisy in the morning. But that's fine. After my pregnancy, I really didn't have too many problems. I mean, besides the toe bone and not being able to sit normal ever again, I still to this day can't. Like, long road trips, I have to continue to move. When I'm sitting in my work chair for 10 hours a day, I have to like sit halfway up on one leg or sideways. It's painful. That I'm gonna say never heals, because Peyton will be 10 next week and we're still going on the painful toe bone, but it's fine. It's what comes with the territory of motherhood, right? Alright, so I'm gonna start kind of the backstory of my pregnancy with Braylee. So, I had gotten on birth control right after I had Peyton, and I was on it pretty much, let's see, 3 years I was on it. At this point, I was living in Montana, and I started having issues with the birth control, so we switched it. It was fine, then it started causing some depression, and so we switched it again, trying to find, like, a good one to switch me to. I didn't want to do, like, the depot shot or anything. I just wanted to stick with the pill because I knew, you know, when I decided to have more or if there was any complications, it was easy to come off of. And just that had been around a lot longer than anything else that I was just like, nope, sticking to the pill. So then I met Braxton and we were together for, I can't even remember how long, a while. And I started having complications with my birth control again. So I found a new doctor, because at this point I was living in North Dakota. And they had done some tests, and the doctor pretty much came and told me, like, either one, you're not going to be able to have any more children, or two, if you do, it's going to be complicated for you to get pregnant. She goes, you've been on the pill for so long, I was 4 years at this point, because I was with Braxton for a year. She goes, at this point where these tests are coming back at this, I want to take you completely off the pill, off any birth control, and just let your body, like, recycle, get all that birth control out, and then, you know, we're going to stay like that for 6 months, and I want you to come back in, and we're going to redo all of the tests and see, you know, about putting you back on the birth control or what you would choose to do depending on how your tests come back. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I go home, have that conversation with Braxton, kind of tell him, hey, like, I'm not on the pill. It's pretty much going to be hard or impossible for me to get pregnant, just so you know. So I would say it was probably 5 months, 6 months, right before that doctor's appointment where I was supposed to go back and test everything, is when I started feeling sick. And in my head, I just thought I had the flu because I just wasn't feeling good. It was only like a week. And I knew I was going back to the doctor, you know, in a couple weeks to get rechecked and whatnot. And so I'm like, you know, it's fine. And my friend kept telling me, she goes, I think you're pregnant. And I'm like, well, why do you say that? And she goes, well, you've been really sick this week. And she goes, I've just noticed your chest is gotten bigger. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know, my breasts have felt a little tender, so I'm like, okay, whatever. Well, that night, Peyton was with her dad, and Braxton wanted to go over and grill with the guys, and I just wasn't feeling it. I'm like, no, I'm just gonna stay here. Like, I was like, I've just been puking, you know, the past couple of days. I didn't know if I have the flu or whatever, so I just didn't want to go around anybody and get anybody else sick. So I'm like, I'm just going to stay home. Well, that friend had texted me. I was like, hey, why aren't you over here? And I just told her I still wasn't feeling good. So she told me I should take a test. And I'm like, okay, I've got one here. Like, I don't even remember why I had one, to be honest with you. I said, I have one here. I'll just go ahead and take it. So I take it. And I kid you not, I was not even done going to the bathroom yet. And that line was there. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So in my head, I started like freaking out because I'm like, they said it's going to be hard to impossible. Like, I actually didn't have what I thought of a cycle for a couple weeks or a couple months. Like, I didn't, my cycle was weird. Like, I would spot for a couple days and then it would go away, and then a couple weeks later I'd spot again. So like, I could not have honestly have told you when my last real cycle would have been, or at this point how far along I would have even really been. So I go to the first doctor because my original couldn't get me in to see me as soon as I wanted, because I like wanted everything checked out right then and there. Like, I wanted to know that next day because I found out on a Sunday and I wanted to be in by that Monday. She still couldn't get me in for a couple weeks for my original appointment, so I found another doctor that could get me in. Well, let me tell you, North Dakota is not up to their times, or wasn't back then, of how they do things, because when I found out I was pregnant with Peyton, I was having my first ultrasound, like that appointment. Well, North Dakota, they don't do that. You don't have ultrasounds, and you only get one at your 20 week when they do the anatomy and you find out your gender, and that's the only ultrasound throughout your whole pregnancy that I would have ever gotten. But I went to this doctor, told her everything, and she goes, well, based off what you told me, this is about how far along you are. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't feel like that's true. Like, I just knew to myself it wasn't true. She was trying to tell me I was only 4 weeks, but I felt like it was way more than that. Just by thinking back on things and, like, events that were going on and when I started actually feeling sick and different things, I'm like, no, I'm further along. So my original doctor got me in. I went to her, she goes, how far along do you think you are? And so I told her, so she actually was like, I'm going to do an ultrasound. I want to know, and we need to check things out given the history that you had had on your last lab work. And I'm like, okay. So she sends me down, and I actually found out I was 9 weeks along at this point, which kind of in my head is where I thought I was. So I was like, okay, well, you know, we're almost to that safe point where we can start telling everybody. Well, oh, let me backtrack of how I told Braxton. So I was just sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, I have to tell him. Well, he had gone over, because we lived in a trailer park. It's really hard to explain if you haven't been to like North Dakota and seen like the oil filled living life. So we pretty much lived in an RV trailer park that just had all the same trailers, and you had rows. So we lived on the furthest row back, and then all of the rest of the company was scattered through, but like the main bosses where we always had like our barbecues were over in the main corner. Well, we were doing laundry that day down at the laundromat. So he said he was just going to take the car, he was going to go switch out laundry and then stop over there for a little bit and then come back home. Well, during all this is when I took my test and was like, okay, well, I'm pregnant. So I texted him. I was like, hey, I need you to come home really quick. Well, instead of him driving the car like a normal person would have, he ran. Don't know why. Like, I didn't put in my text that it was like an emergency or anything. I just said, I need you to come home really quick. So he come home, he opened the door and he's standing there, and I'm just sitting on the couch and I just looked at him and I was like, well, I'm pregnant. And he just looks at me and he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, the test is in the bathroom. So he comes in the trailer, he goes in and looks at the test, and then he comes out and gives me a hug and he goes, well, so now what do we do? And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean now what do we do? And he goes, well, what's the next steps? And I just told him, you know, we got to get into the doctor, we got to figure everything out, make sure everything's fine. And pretty much at that, like, he was like, okay, well, now that you know you don't have to go have the flu, do you want to go over to the barbecue? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, but I don't really want to tell anybody yet until we know anything. And he's like, okay, Well, this kid could not wipe the smile off his face. Like, looking at him, I think he was pretty excited. He can say otherwise, but his face showed it. So we go back over, and my friend that had texted me was like, "Oh, so you don't have the flu?" And I'm like, "Okay, since you've been pushing me, like, no." Well, I'm sitting in a chair, and one of our friends was on the phone to his girlfriend and found out that he was also going to be a dad. And him and Braxton were talking, and then by that point, the whole company knew that we were all expecting. Well, come to find out, I had never met this girl yet. I did not meet her until she had moved up to North Dakota, and we were all at this point going to live in a house together. We were due a day apart, which was crazy, but we'll get into that. So, anyways, back to the whole doctor's appointment. So we found out how far along I was. Everything looked great and good. No complaints, nothing. Mind you, I had to drive an hour and a half to every doctor appointment because in the small town of Watford that we lived in, they actually didn't have at that time. They do now, but at the time we lived there, they did not have OB doctors. They didn't even have like a labor and delivery department, like none of that. So, going into my pregnancy further, I was constantly sick. I ended up with bronchitis, a double ear infection. I was in the hospital twice getting IVs for fluid because I just could not keep anything down at all. Well, we finally got over all of that. And, like the pregnancy started going good, everything was great. I had more energy. I was in the middle of my second trimester at this point. Things were going great. Braxton was going to go to Alaska for a couple weeks on I believe it was his bear hunt with his dad. And I had a doctor's appointment the day he was leaving, but I was taking him to Williston, which was an hour opposite of the way my doctor's appointment was. So that morning, I had drove him to Williston to the doctor's or to the airport, dropped him off. And on the way there, we were just having conversation, because he hadn't been able to make it to an appointment due to work. So I would just record like the heartbeat and everything for him and just update him on everything after each appointment. And on the way there, he goes, "When I get home, I'm going to start going to appointments because these are, when it's going to start getting important and everything." And I was like, "Dill, like, great." All right, so at this point, I'm starting to feel the emotions coming up. I can hear my child upstairs wanting dinner, so I'm going to end here. And I'm going to go finish doing everything I needed to do for the weekend. I just don't want to get too far into my emotions and be in a bad mood this weekend because it's Peyton's birthday that we're celebrating, so that's why I'm going to kind of stop it here. So I will definitely finish next week. I kind of think I'm going to keep my recording sessions to the same days that Peyton is on the phone to her dad. It seemed to work that day, so recording Sundays and Wednesdays and releasing the next day. Like I said, we'll see what, because we will be coming home Sunday. So I'll see how I'm feeling Sunday. If not, I'll definitely record Monday. But thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the rest of the pregnancy story and have a great weekend.